Love DC? DC loves you back with DC Love Scratchers from the DC Lottery, featuring cash prizes of over $1 million. Now that's a lot of love. Play the latest DC Love Scratcher celebrating cherry blossoms only from the DC Lottery. It's fun to play. Yay! Rob Mayer, we are live, baby.
You're live. It's happening. It's really happening, Sarah.
I am so excited. Oh my God, I feel like What do you think of my theme song, Rob?
I love it. Okay. I don't know. Is this a rave or a podcast? What's happening right now? It's a podcast. Yeah. It's a podcast. I just asked the question and it said.
Not a cast pod, Rob.
No. We hate when those get confused. This ruins everything.
Happens all the time.
Yes. This is a big deal. I get to be on your podcast. You're the coolest girl in school. That's who you are.
Oh, stop.
You're the cool
girl.
Are
you kidding? Oh, my God. You are such an incredible, incredible comic. And you're, like, doing it.
I'm doing it. You're right. I'm trying to do it, and I feel like I'm sort of doing it.
I am super attracted to love supporting.
Okay.
Okay, you're going to get me in trouble. You know, I do make out with random people. It's really terrible.
I make out with random Sarahs. How
really?
About that?
Oh, my God.
And chosen ones.
Stop.
Yes.
You will get me in so much trouble. I will make out with anyone.
Okay. I think I'm going to get in trouble, too. You realize that. So
My
girlfriend watches the ID channel on a loop. She's like, there's probably a show like Podcast Guest Murderer. That's an episode or something. So
that will be
yes.
the next show.
Yeah. That Slaughter, Podcast That Pillage. I don't know. Does that even make sense?
Yeah, it does completely.
Alliteration.
You guys, welcome to the podcast. I'm Sarah Fraser. Rob Mayer is here, who is a comedian from Washington, D.C., and this guy is amazing. He is open from Kevin Hart
yes.
to Tiffany Haddish. You have just built an unbelievable career for yourself.
Thank you.
You work all the time. You are living most comics' dream. And you're here today to not only talk about your story, give advice, but then you're going to weigh in on some pop culture things as well.
Absolutely. Let's do it.
Jasmine Petros is also joining us. She is a stage 3 colon cancer survivor. I feel like today's show is going to be super funny and just super inspiring.
Yes, that's what we want in a show. It's everything's going to happen. Laughter and uplifting.
Everything.
Right, it's good.
I feel like it's dangerous, Rob, when you say to
and
us
we're drinking.
Everything. Yeah, we're drinking, which is, I'm going to get slurrific here in like 2 seconds.
Let's do it.
No, I'll pass out. Then you'll just have to take over the show.
Okay, that's fine. I mean, it wouldn't be the first time.
So Jasmine is here. She's an incredible story, and she's basically now, she's in remission from stage 3 colon cancer. She was diagnosed at 23. She has been in remission for a couple of years, and now she's just speaking about her story because, like many young people who are yeah. diagnosed with cancer, you know, doctors didn't believe it. She really had to be a health advocate. So I always like to warn people. And both of my parents, I lost my father to cancer and my mom is 3 years out with breast cancer. Both of them have had it. So I always
it
just like,
home.
Yeah, it hits home for sure.
Absolutely.
So we're going to talk to her, but we also have to talk about our president and Melania. They had another awkward hand interaction yesterday, which was it's comedic gold.
Yeah.
So I want to hear all your thoughts on them.
Well, I think it's, don't even try anymore. We don't think you have a good relationship. So it's like stop. It's like if there's a relationship where the guy's gay, obviously, and the wife is still trying to act like this is my man. We know what's happening. Just fake it. So you're not in love. It's not. You don't. There's no romance. It's like I know the Clintons.
Here it is, too, Rob. So here it is, and the French president is here with his wife. Yesterday this happened, and doesn't FLOTUS. She looks like Melania looks amazing, right?
She always dresses fantastic.
We're playing the video right now.
I feel like the gay man in me comes out when I see her clothes. It's so fabulous. Look at that thing she's wearing. I can't describe it because I'm still straight, but it does look amazing. Oh my God, those shoes. Am I right? The hat, the whole situation.
I think you are.
It does
right.
look fantastic. She's an accessory. That's what she is for him, right?
Yeah, it does seem like that. Isn't that sad? Oh my God, that's kind of sad when you say that. Like, that really is what she is. She's an accessory for him.
Well, it's sad because he's the president. If he was just some rich guy, it was just, that's par for the course. If he was just Donald Trump's celebrity reality show star, then it's like, fine, it's Donald Trump. But now that it's the president, you kind of want to have, especially coming off the Obamas, where, like, even in the Bushes, you felt like we have real love here.
Right.
Not so much the Clintons, but you feel like, but you did feel like with George and Laura and with obviously Michelle and Brock, that this is a real, whether you stand politically, these two love each other.
No, you're absolutely right. It's so true. And now it's painful to watch, really.
It is. It's, well, nothing about him is presidential. So why would his relationship be presidential? I mean, at least he's consistent in that, right? Let's just.
But I give her credit because she doesn't even fake it. Like, she doesn't even pretend with him that, like, hey, we're together. I mean, she's just like, fuck you. Get your hands off me. Like, right? I mean, like, every other woman that he's harassed. Like, she wants nothing to do with him.
Do you think she's going to have a post-first lady, like, career where she's leaves him and is now, is she hosting a talk show? Does she have a life after this? Or she just goes back to being rich wife?
I hope she does have a life. I hope she starts going back to nude modeling, because I thought she was super hot when she was naked.
I'm for that, too. I want her to have a nude podcast.
Oh, maybe I'll do that. Wouldn't that be great if I just started stripping on Facebook
Live?
Yes, Lime?
It would be great. I'm a fan of that. I like you. I like your body. I'm turned on by you. I love your outfit, but I would like you to take some things off. I think that's good. Leave the earrings, though. I like that. Leave this buckle chain. Bangle. I don't know what it's called.
Looks like a massive handcuff.
Yeah, that's, well, hey, whatever you're into, okay?
This is going to be
50
so good.
Shades of phrase over here. So.
50 Shades of phrase. Yeah. It's our new tagline.
Right. Name the episode.
So we're going to get to all those stories. We have two sponsors, though, that we have to thank. Mervis Diamond is amazing. MervisDiamond.com. You've been with your girlfriend for, what, 9 years?
Yeah, you know, we're not quite at the, you know, diamond stage. It's 9 years. I mean, at this point, it's just, we're just... It's now Facebook official. I'm taking it very slow. I'm a pussy.
Yeah. So really, I love this. No, I've been with my boyfriend for 5 years, and we're not engaged or married. And you know, sometimes I pressure him, sometimes he pressures me. But you know, we just haven't really moved forward in that way. Do you guys have any plans to? Or are you?
It's we're gonna get married or we're gonna break up. It's gonna be awkward either way, but that's where we're headed. No, I am terrified of it. I mean, I've read the reviews on marriage. So, like,
it is scary.
Right.
Yes.
Like, if it was on Yelp, you would not eat at that restaurant. You'd be like, what? Are you stupid? Like, are you not reading this? Like,
50% of the people really hate it so much, they're no longer speaking.
Right. They'll never do it again.
They'll never do it again. They're that sworn off the restaurant.
Right. Would you go? Yeah. You wouldn't go to a restaurant. It's never again. I got food poisoning. Half people say, yes, that's me too. You would just, no. But she doesn't read the reviews, apparently. So.
Okay, well, when you do get engaged, because
I love her. She's awesome.
I was going to say, and she's been amazing. We have to talk about this because she is literally like, she supported you years ago, right? When you started out kind of full time as a comic.
Oh, yeah. She's seen me at my bottom of my bottom, most drinking, least amount of money coming in. Just
that is amazing.
A loser, basically, masquerading as somebody trying to make it. But. So she's seen, she's been there for me. See, the other thing with us is that she's this beautiful black woman, and I'm just this white guy. So we age differently because, you know, like she's already like hotter than me. I'm 2 years older, but like so when we started dating, I looked like 5 years older.
Sure.
But now every year I get a year older because that's how normal white people or 14 months older, depending on how much fun I had. And she gets like 4 days older. So.
Wow.
The delta between us, it keeps growing. So
that's hot, though. It's like a whole new relationship for you.
It is. In like 10 years, she's going to look like my victim or something. Like I've kidnapped her or I'm her patient. It's not going to look like we're together, like a normal relationship.
Do you feel extra indebted? Because Dan does that with my career. Like he's really sat back. He's supported me. He's always like, you know, you have to follow your dream. You have to pursue it. So lots of times he like pays the rent. Do you feel like even extra indebted to that person? Or do you feel like, no? You know what? This is just what people do in relationships.
No, I do. I think even extra on top of that, because literally some of my jokes that have furthered my career the farthest, that have gotten me on TV and gotten me open for some of these people that are, you know, Tiffany Haddish and going on Kevin Hart's TV show are jokes that are from our relationship that I literally wouldn't have if not for us being together. So I owe more than just being there for me. She's literally giving me material. Yes.
She just owns your life. Okay,
she
does. Guys are basically getting married.
Basically.
100%.
Mervis Diamonds, that's where I'll go.
Mervis Diamonds, they're having a Viraggio show, by the way. Viraggio is a diamond designer. They have incredible things. They're known for their ornate bands, and that is May 3rd, 4th, and 5th. You can do it at their Tyson's Corner location. Look at your face.
Perfect.
You're like, when is this commercial over, bitch? Like, you're
we're
like,
still on the Mervis thing. I thought I gave it a nice wrap it up and a bow, and we're still on it.
How long is this damn thing? Anyway, you need to go. I'm going to be there. You can get more details, MervisDiamond.com. You can also, if you aren't in the mood to get married, they have everything. Diamond jewelry, great stud earrings, everything you can imagine.
You just want to get someone you love something nice.
Absolutely.
Mother's Day is coming up, right?
Mother's Day, yes. It's perfect time to go there for Mother's Day. Thank you.
I love my mom.
I'm going to give you a little endorsement fee. Here's $5.
I'll take it. Here you go, Mom. It's literally a $5 bill. I'm a horrible son.
And the show is also brought to you by DC Lottery. They have a brand new Cherry Blossom Scratcher out that you can buy at participating DC Lottery stores, or you can go to DCLottery.com.
It's the place to be, the only place for me. Feeling that DC love, I got that DC love. I'm so happy that it's mine, that love is so divine. I'm feeling that DC love, I got that DC love, yeah.
Love DC? DC loves you back with DC Love Scratchers from the DC Lottery, featuring cash prizes of over $1 million. Now that's a lot of love.
It's my celebration, my DC revelation. Feeling that DC love. We got the DC love. Feeling the DC love, yeah. We got the DC love.
Play the latest DC Love Scratcher, celebrating cherry blossoms, only from the DC Lottery. It's fun to play. Available where DC Lottery tickets are sold.
So, look, we got to talk. I wanted to talk Kourtney Kardashian. I don't know. You're probably not really a Kardashian fan, are you, Rob?
I mean, I've seen the sex tape, so that's where I started with her. You know what? I think it's fashionable to just hate on the Kardashians, but I kind of like their business savvy and the way that they've carved out this life for them. They're not just going around looking pretty in places. They're smart people.
They really are smart people. Mm. And I love they're doing more and more advocacy work. Kourtney Kardashian, who's the oldest sister, was here on Capitol Hill in D.C. yesterday lobbying for more full disclosure when it comes to ingredients in beauty products. Because beauty products, I'm obsessed with like Living Green, you know, which I think is also why I love having like people like Jasmine on, because I always think like cancer is caused by the environment and what we eat. And one of the big things now is fragrances. Like fragrances are really toxic to your body. Tide, all that shit that you like wash your clothes with.
The normal everyday things.
Right. So she was on the Hill basically saying like a lot of these chemicals need to have warnings. And I love this. I think this is so great.
Well, good for her. I mean, look, they're not idiots. They know what they're doing.
They're not really
taking pretty pictures and posting on Instagram. They're very savvy.
They are very, very savvy. And I love that she's using her platform to bring awareness for this, because I think it's really important. She says, too, that for her kids, like she doesn't want to put anything. You guys don't have any kids yet.
No, we don't. So
is that on your discussion? Because that's kind of like on my radar, because, you know, I'm getting older. So I'm like, fuck.
Yeah. Well, again, it comes back to my comedy. I need new material. And like I've already actually started writing jokes about
our
baby, our mixed baby girl.
Really?
Yes. Because I just think it's funny of me trying to do her hair when I couldn't. To learning, that's hard to learn hair on a black girl versus a white girl. It's like you wouldn't learn how to drive on like a tractor trailer. It seems an advanced thing. Right. You would start easy. So I'm already writing a joke about some kid that doesn't exist.
Really?
Yes.
That's hysterical.
That's how my mind thinks.
I want to talk a little bit about your career before we talk some other pop culture stories. Mm-hmm. How long have you been a full-time comic?
I've been full-time here for a few years, but I've been doing it for 20. So it's just been a slow, gradual. You know, pretty much every year has gotten a little bit better. So there hasn't been some skyrocket thing.
But. Now, you just opened for Tiffany Haddish. When was that? Like a month or two ago?
Yeah, back in March, I did the Borgata in Atlantic City, the Warner Theater, and then the Carpenter Theater in Richmond. So we did 6 shows in 3 different awesome, beautiful theaters.
Sold out shows.
Every show sold out. She is so hot right now. I work with her basically 4 stages of her career in terms of her fame.
Have you?
Yeah, the first time was about 5 years ago at the Arlington Draft House, where she was headlining, and you know, we got along. We didn't really exchange information, but we got along pretty well. And then about in October of 16, I worked with her at Magoobies outside of Baltimore.
Yep.
And at this point, she was on the Carmichael show. She was she's just shot Girls Trip, so she was talking about how she thought this was going to be her big break. But she wasn't like a household name by any means. But then we talked a lot more. We hit it off. We exchanged information. I drove her back to her hotel. I think I scored points for not like trying to like have sex with her, I think, to be honest. I think actually that I'm imagining as a beautiful woman, and I know how comics are, that's probably something that she runs into, guys trying. And And then so we talked about working together again. And then fast forward to last summer at the Funny Bone in Virginia Beach. Girls Trip had hit. Every show sold out. She's got an entourage now. And then fast forward to these theater shows, even a bigger entourage. But she's actually the same girl. She's actually more at peace and more comfortable with who she is now than I think when I first started work with her.
Yeah, you said that, which I find fascinating. Because
she's where she's supposed to be.
Usually people, as they become more famous, become more insecure because, you know, the stakes are so high.
Right.
But you said the opposite for her.
No, I felt like, especially in Magoobies, you know, 2 years ago, she didn't seem that happy with where she was. She had some things happening, but I felt like the vibe I got was that she's put in X amount of time and she should be farther along, because she should have been, because she is dynamic and so lovable and just so the girl next door, the girl you want to party with, the girl you want to date, the girl you want to hang out with, and the girl that's the class clown at the same time. And so now when I've seen her, she's so busy and it's constant. This, but it's what she's meant to be doing. And you could tell that. And she knows it. And she's finally like, this is how my life should go. And she doesn't want to stop. She doesn't want to be Kevin Hart. She wants to be Kevin Hart meets Oprah. She wants to be.
Really?
She wants to do arenas. So she wants to have clothing lines and cosmetics. And just she wants to do dramas. She's shooting two things this summer in New York. The Last OG season 2. With Tracy Morgan, already got picked up.
Oh my God, amazing. And a movie incredible.
Oh, he's incredible. And a movie with Melissa McCarthy, which is a drama, actually.
And have you worked with Tracy Morgan?
I haven't worked with Tracy Morgan. I work with Tommy Davidson a lot. We've been around the world together doing shows for the military.
Yes, that's right. You do a lot with the USO.
Yes, I work with Michael Blackson. I was on Kevin Hart's show on Comedy Central called Heart of the City, the DC episode.
And did you open for Kevin?
He was at the show. The show is basically he's highlighting the comedy scene in that particular city. So it's just, well, there's an interview at Ben's Chili Bowl, me and two other comics and him. And then we each did a set at the Big Hunt, this club right in near DuPont.
Oh, sure.
And so he was there. And so it's cool to see me telling jokes and the camera flashes to him laughing. So that's sort of, that's pretty cool. It's a good tape to send out, a video to send out.
Hell
to bookers.
Yeah. What's the difference between a comic like Kevin Hart and Tiffany Haddish? Like, you know, you've got her sort of just like coming up, building this brand. Kevin seems like he's more of a machine. You know, there's so much there. There's like movies and, you know, obviously the stand-up specials and massive arenas. And is there a big difference in the comedy world or no?
I think with Tiffany now, Kevin sort of, he became huge as a comic before he was huge in the movies.
Right.
So his persona was based on his comedy. Where Tiffany, a lot of people from Girls Trip, they see that character and then that's what they want her to be.
Right.
So they fell in love with Dina, who the wild, drunk party girl who doesn't take any shit,
which is
her, but she's also, obviously, she's a more three-dimensional character, a real person than that. But I feel like the crowd wants that character at all times, and no one can be that at all times. It's not a real person. So she's almost, it's Kevin, the movies that came after the comedy, or even though she was doing comedy, she got famous now because of the movie.
Right.
So that changes the perception of, does that make sense?
Yes,
of the,
sure,
of the
sure,
audience.
Sure. A total different way to fame.
Yes.
Okay, and what the audience perception is.
Exactly. So Kevin, his whole vibe is self-deprecating, you know, I'm short, talk about kids and family and situations, and then as he got more famous, then his jokes became about becoming famous and hanging with the crowd. So there was a sort of, you followed him along with his career.
Yep.
Where Tiffany now, her comedy has to catch up to where her movie fame was. Does that make it? I don't know if that makes sense.
No, that makes total sense. That makes total sense. What do you say? I mean, I'm sure you get asked this all the time because the life of a stand-up comedian looks somewhat intriguing. I don't know. You have to travel a lot, but it really does. I mean, making people laugh, I think, is one of the purest and one of the greatest talents. I mean, when you can do that, I mean, you literally allow people to escape from whatever is happening in their life. I mean, it is a great gift, and I think such an amazing thing when you can do it full time. Do you recommend for people that have that inkling that they want to do stand up or that they want to do improv, they should do it?
Yeah, you definitely should do it. I mean, it's hard because no matter how long you do it, the rejection when you don't do well, it hurts. It doesn't. And you
does
never
it?
Get, yes, it
you
does.
Said you, but you just were telling me about a show you did down in Ocean City and half the audience walked out. You didn't seem all that rejected.
I didn't enjoy it. I mean, I was plowing through it. I mean, it was a, that was a gig, that was a for the money show, not for the fun.
Yes.
So, which is like everyone has a job. Sometimes you're, this is just what I have to do to make this paycheck. It's not something you're getting enjoyment out of.
Yep.
But I think, look, it does feel good to just go up there. And it's just me, my words. There's no, I'm not playing an instrument. I'm not singing. I'm not dancing. There's nothing. There's no bells, no whistles. It's just literally just me. And if I think about it too much, I psych myself out because it doesn't make sense that that could logically even work.
But you get paid to do that.
You can just go up there and make strangers laugh. It doesn't make any sense.
Oh, you're fucking great at it.
Well,
I saw you. I saw Rob. The reason I got so turned on to you, I saw you open for Tony Perkins and Gary Stein, their podcast. I've been a podcast guest. They did a live show and I just watched you and I was like, oh my God, you had that crowd just, I mean, they loved you and your jokes were great and you're dirty, which I love. I've never understood. I don't know why a comic would want to work clean. I guess you get more money and more gigs, but I'm like, who in real life? I think about this. I think aside from my mother, even my grandmother cursed and smoked until she was like 86.
Right.
I'm like, who the fuck do you know that works clean every day in their life?
Nobody. Well, nobody that goes out. Nobody that's going to a comedy club.
So
people that like clean things aren't out at a Saturday night at 10:30 in the city. They're at home. They're watching The Voice for the third time that week. They're not... You know, but if you do, look, clean jokes opens a whole different avenue of corporate and different things that pays really well.
Oh.
So it's good to have that ability.
So do you work clean at all?
I mean, I it's not my wheelhouse, but I can and I will. And is there an offer? So
yes, I mean, please. Yeah. I don't know. I mean, I guess. Yeah, even corporate's like, ugh.
Yeah, you have to be clean. Like I did a horrible gig for this Builders Gala Association that Jim Vance used to like host. That like,
oh, I love this.
Yes, where like it, again, it paid really well, but like
you're at Lennar Homes.
You're
hey.
Yeah, you're just up there. Just they're like, we're not here for this, and then you're just, why am I doing this? Like I'm not. So you're just plowing through for 10 minutes, and then you're handing out. You're reading like the Academy Awards for 2 hours, and the winner of the best condo in Loudoun County goes to Schlurbert Homes or whatever. I don't know. So, but that's a gig that pays, that you get no enjoyment out of from a comedic standpoint, from an artistic standpoint, but it pays the bills.
Heck yeah. Now, what about women? Are more women doing comedy?
Absolutely.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, the whole DC scene has gotten a lot better from when I started. I mean, there used to be two or three rooms and now there's, you know, 15, 20 different open mics you can go and you can do it like in New York almost where you can do three,
really?
Four different shows in a night, just going around, hopping on the metro and Ubering to places and doing shows. So it is that whole vibe has definitely helped the scene. There's a lot more women. And there's a lot more famous female comedians. I mean, Netflix has turned into like a churning out specials constantly.
Yeah,
and
for women.
For women, for gay, lesbian, for, I mean, it's definitely not another white guy telling jokes. There's a whole, the whole world is getting a chance to be funny, which is how it should be.
Yeah, I know. Do you like that? Because, I mean, it seems like, you're right. Now you see all these places offering comedy nights. Like, and that seems, obviously it's working.
Yeah.
They got to be making money. That's why they're doing it.
Yeah, I think it's weird. The comedy, you actually got paid the same almost like in comedy, like in the 80s and 90s and you do now. It doesn't has inflation hasn't really caught up with unless you're like super famous. So it's you almost have to find your make your carve your own deal. That's why I write these
niche.
Murder mysteries. That's why
yes.
I create my own content. So it allows me to offer more to a booker to I can have a whole night where now I can get paid on a level versus where the headliner would get paid, like somebody famous, versus just I'm just the guy that's doing 20 minutes, because now you're creating a whole show, a whole thing,
brilliant.
Versus just telling your jokes. So you have to do that unless you have the credits, unless you are, there's really no middle. There's like, it's almost like people talk about the death of the middle class in America.
Yeah.
It's sort of like that in comedy. Yeah.
You've either made it or you're like, you haven't made it.
You're a one percenter or you're paycheck to paycheck.
Wow.
That's the very few that are in that middle space.
Yeah, but you're now in the 1%. I mean,
no, I'm not in the I'm not in the paycheck to paycheck anymore. But I'm more comfortable with that. Those are more my people. But I'm not in the 1%. But I like that you say that. I like that you think that.
Oh, hell
me.
Yeah. I mean, you're working all the time and to get in with the USO. I mean, that's amazing.
Yes, Armed Forces Entertainment to be exact. It's the same thing in terms of military shows, but
what's your favorite joke that you've ever written that you like to do?
Gosh. Good question. I mean, my favorite, the joke about my girlfriend and her hair is the joke that is now sort of has gotten me into the most doors, because it's a joke about, because she's black and me not understanding everything that goes on with
sure.
the hair. And so that joke, it plays really well in a black audience, and it allows me to sort of almost have a niche where I'm the white guy that's not trying to act black. I'm the guy from the suburbs,
yeah.
but I can relate to black people in this way because of this relationship and just how we are. And so that's sort of given me, that's why I can open for Tiffany Haddish
yes.
in an 80% black audience, and they're going to love me because I'm being myself, but myself also is jokes that they relate to. More so than white people, to be honest, in a lot of cases.
That's amazing. Yeah. Yeah, what's the difference, by the way, for a black audience, white audience? Because, I mean, you're reading audiences every night.
Well, black people don't get offended as much because they have, like, real stress in their life.
right.
There's, like, real drama they have to overcome and deal with.
So they're
right.
like totally not offended. Okay.
Yeah, they're like, no, I'm more about the cops, not your intent on that joke, you curse. It's like, okay. So, but the white audience that bothers me is the white audience that gets offended on behalf of the black person who's not offended.
Ah.
That's the classic upset white person. How dare you say that? Meanwhile, the black table to their left is dying laughing, but they're offended on their behalf. It's like, you don't see that you're wrong in this.
Wow. And that must be a tough audience to play to.
It is. I like a mixed audience. To me, that's the best
yeah.
audience. That's what I want. I want a mix. I want a mix of ages. That's why I like the military shows, because the military is the most diverse audience you're ever going to have.
Oh, I bet. You have all ages, men,
yes.
women, gay, straight. Yeah, that's a great
audience.
And
geographically, they're not all, like, you do play in D.C., the most of the crowd is from D.C., or
right.
they live there. In the military, oh, they're from Georgia, they're from Seattle, they're from Texas, they're from Boston. So you're literally getting America in one show.
That's amazing.
And that's awesome.
That would be so good. All right, I want to get to a couple of stories and get your opinions. Have
yes.
you seen this woman who looks like Donald Trump? They've actually found
yes.
her. She has zero social media. Her name is Dolores, which I just love. Do you watch Westworld at all?
I know. I've heard that's
HBO.
Really good, though.
It's really good. Anyway, the name Dolores is just synonymous with that show for me. This woman is from rural Spain, Doris Luis Antelo. She lives on a farm there, and this picture is going viral because people are saying this is the female version of our president. Do you think that this woman, and by the way, if you are listening, you can just Google what she looks like, but she's basically in a farm. She's got like a pitchfork type thing over her shoulder, completely same hair as President Trump.
Yes.
And kind of the same body shape. I'm not going to
yeah,
lie.
Yeah, she's got a dad bod situation. It's the only thing that's not Trump is that she's holding that farm tool, that pickaxe thing or whatever that is, that you would never see Trump doing. Like,
he'd never be caught dead?
No, he's not doing any gardening.
Ever.
He's not doing the manual labor.
They do look exactly the same. The legs, the cankles, the whole thing. The arms, the hand size. Actually,
yeah.
hers look bigger.
She looks like she speaks better English.
Yeah, she really does.
She has a better grasp of our vocabulary. I feel like I'd rather have her, you know, making State of the Union addresses and talking to the calling people when there's been a tragedy and sorry for your loss. This is President. What's her name in Spain? The
Dolores.
Spanish woman? Dolores. President
Antelo.
Dolores. Do you think she would beat Trump right now if she ran, if we allowed that?
Yes, I think 1,000%.
Yes.
I mean, I'm just concerned. I'm like, oh, God, please don't let him run for re-election. I mean, we've got to come up with somebody else, right?
You would think it wouldn't be that hard to come up with somebody else, but, you know, he won once, so that seems like the hard part, winning once. Winning
yeah.
twice doesn't seem as hard, right?
I know. I totally right? agree. Also, I feel like this is, you know, what's your drink of choice?
My drink of choice? Well, if I'm counting calories, I still drink. But I'll just drink a Kettle One on the rocks with a lime, and I'll just sort of sip it. But
now,
I do like red wine.
You do?
Yes.
Now, do you drink for your comedy shows?
I used to be able to drink and go on stage, and those days are gone. I'm not as sharp, and it bothers me.
I know. Me neither.
Yeah,
see, like,
start
once
slurring.
You start.
Yeah.
Yes. And it only takes, like, a half a glass.
Right. And I want to be able to be at my best, because I, you know,
oh.
at this point. I'm too long in the game to be making rookie mistakes and not taking it seriously.
I'll
get hammered right after. I fell off stage once drunk.
Oh, you did?
Yes.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, in Baltimore.
Oh, shit.
Yeah.
Did people want a refund at that point?
I passed out. I had no idea. It was a perfect storm, Sarah, of no sleep. It's actually, speaking of you know, of radio. We're talking before the show. I was doing 98 Rock, the morning show in Baltimore for the first time ever. So, and I lived in Sterling, Virginia.
Oh, God.
An hour and a half away.
Oh, Lord.
And so I was very, and I'm a night owl. So I was concerned about oversleeping. So I just stayed up all night. And then I get there super early, 5:30 a.m. And then I do the show. And then rather than go home, because I was doing shows in Baltimore that weekend, I go to my mom's in Annapolis, thinking I'd catch up on some sleep. She got me cleaning out the garage. So that it turned into like an errand day. So then I do the shows. Then I drive home to Sterling. I work 9 to 5 the next day. And then I drive all the way back to Baltimore for 7 p.m. show. Barely make it. Do 3 shows. First show's good. Second show, you know what? Have a little drink. It's Christmas time. We have a little holiday show.
Oh, my God.
Had another one, Red Bull Vodka. You know, I'm tired. That makes sense.
Oh.
And I went from, like, sober to tipsy to what's happening. I'm on stage. The mic cord comes out. I don't know it. I keep talking. I can't put it back in, so I'm not a good drunk lover, apparently. Somebody had to come on stage, put the mic cord back in the mic for me. Then I do 30 minutes, supposed to do 17, so I almost go twice over. I say, thank you, good night, fall off the stage. They take me out. They put me on this bench in the lobby. People were taking pictures. The next time I'm there, they're showing me these pictures. They take me in the service elevator. I throw up in the trash can, which is a good place to throw up.
Oh, my God. How many drinks? Would you have 3 drinks?
I had 3 drinks with no food, no sleep.
Oh, my God. You are such a lightweight, though. Okay, well, that's true.
And then I wake up. I'm in a hotel room. I had a friend of mine there, a couple. They were out of town. They were in a hotel. And I was like, where am I?
What the hell happened?
And I said, Jessica, what's going on? She goes, you got really drunk. I said, okay, but, you know, I've been really drunk before. It wasn't that bad, right? She goes, no, it was really bad. And so then I called the next day, and I'm like, I'm really sorry, and it'll never happen again. Of course, you know, I kept drinking there, but I was there 2 months later. It's Baltimore. They don't care. I literally, there was no repercussions. None.
Perfect city. They're like, what? This is like a.
Yeah, whatever.
Yeah, this is every other comic. Why are you calling us to apologize?
Exactly.
It's Baltimore. Yeah, I know. Baltimore would be a great town to do a comic. I feel like they're like, whatever.
Baltimore is
no
a
fucks
Baltimore.
Given.
You can be dirtier in Baltimore than D.C.
Oh, I bet. Yes. People are uptight here.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Baltimore doesn't care.
You can say anything.
Really?
Yeah.
I'm going to start there.
All right. Hey.
I'm only going to dirty cities.
Yeah, start dirty.
They're St. Louis, Detroit.
Yeah, you just start your dirty run.
Yeah.
The dirty phrase.
Well, it'll come as no surprise to you. I love this story that's out that basically says people who drink more, their mouths are filled with bacteria.
Yeah, I thought the alcohol kills the bacteria.
It doesn't. It festers it in the mouth.
Ends
up creating more bacteria, activates those enzymes.
Alcohol's bad for you. That's not stopping us. I mean, liver cancer doesn't stop us. This is a bad breath. I mean,
yeah, but haven't you ever made out with somebody that's been drinking all night and their breath reeks? Like, and even the next day of like a heavy drinker. Maybe this is just like making out with guys that heavy drink, but their like breath smells like really like sweet, pukey. It's gross.
Well, it's better than cigarettes, I think.
Really?
Yeah, I don't like the smoke.
I like the cigarette smoke. I could deal with that much more.
One time I had a show and then I was, again, I was working the next day and I got really drunk in the hotel and I woke up the next morning, didn't have any toothpaste. So I took some Goldschlager that I had the night before and I drank that and then I went to work.
Oh, God.
That was my mouthwash, essentially. It's Goldschlager.
Oh, God.
Yes.
Well, you're used to this story.
Yeah, I'm a bad person, so.
No, you're a riot.
I am a riot. I am good times.
You're fucking hilarious.
We go back to the presidents? Because I want to know, who do you think you would look like?
Oh, yes. Okay, so you had said this to me. You said you think that I look like a president, right, Rob?
Yeah, you're John Quincy Adams. That's what you are. Sarah Fraser is our sixth president.
I look like John Quincy Adams. The girls are bringing it up. If you're on our Facebook Live right now, be sure to share this show. Comedian Rob Mayer is here. He is from D.C., but he works nationwide. He's open for Tiffany Haddish, to Kevin Hart. He's unbelievable. And now we were just talking about this woman in Spain who looks like our president. And now you think I look like John Adams. Wait, I got to see this.
Yeah, JQA. That's what the kids call him. He lived to be 81. That's pretty good in the 1700s, the 1848, 1760s.
That's like unheard of.
Exactly.
Yes. Okay, I actually can see that. You know, he has very feminine features. His lips, his nose. We actually do have a very similar nose.
I've always wanted to bang him. So, I have a presidential fetish.
Yeah, right.
Let me see your Oval Office there. Okay. Pardon this, Sarah.
I will. No problem.
Yeah.
I do kind of look like him.
Okay. Well, I mean, they have the hottest here. I'm on this website.
Who are some of the other hottest presidents of all time?
Well, a lot of these guys were pretty good looking back in the day because, you know, we're seeing them. Presidency doesn't do well for your...
No, it ages you very quickly. Very stressful gig. I don't know who they're bringing up now on screen. I hope the hell I don't look like this. I don't know. Who is this? Is this one of our presidents? I don't even know who the hell this is.
Hey, it's AJ. No, this is still John Quincy Adams.
That's an older. We want the prime peak.
We want prime.
There's my future. Yes. No, my facial hair is coming in like that, so that actually looks very accurate.
This Rutherford B. Hayes is kind of sexy.
Oh, Rutherford. Yes, yeah. Rutherford's super hot.
Rutherford. Do you think they called him Ford or Ruther or Ruth?
Or Rutherford.
R.B.? Rutherford. That's a rich guy's
name. What a pretentious
name right there.
Very asshole pretentious. Name.
Reagan, of course, he was an actor. You knew he was going to look good back in the day.
Yeah, he does look good.
Franklin Roosevelt, I'm not seeing that. The glasses,
no,
come on.
No.
Obama, looking very sexy there back in, that looks like the 70s. George Bush was a handsome man.
George W. Bush? What?
His Yale photo.
All right, maybe for a minute.
Nixon.
Okay, give me a break. Yeah. This list has run out of people.
Coolidge, you a Coolidge girl?
No, absolutely not.
Gerald Ford?
No, he looked old when he was 20.
Dwight Eisenhower? I'm not seeing these. Theodore, you like a little facial hair?
A little.
Yeah.
It's a lot of facial hair.
Yeah, I know.
I want to bring in our next guest.
Please.
Because she's a great story. She was also really, she was hysterically laughing at you in our green room.
I love her.
Jasmine Petros is here. She's 25 years old now, but when she was 23, she was diagnosed with stage 3 colon cancer, which I can imagine must have felt like a life-ending diagnosis.
Terrifying.
Now she's been on every local news station talking about raising the awareness of good nutrition and also for people to know their bodies. And she just returned from Coachella, or as Rob was saying...
Baychella. That's what the kids are calling it. See, Beyonce is this singer. She's pretty famous. She's married to Jay-Z. He's a rapper. Rapper's this music that, okay, you guys are caught up, probably. I'm hip. I'm down.
Rob, we know it.
I'm on Fleek. Wait, no, we don't say that anymore.
Fleek is dead.
Damn it.
No, I know. That one's really old. Right. Yeah. Jasmine, welcome to the show.
Hi.
Hey, Jasmine.
You are fabulous. So, look, tell us how you, because you talk about everything. You were like full disclosure. And you even talk about, you were saying to me when you wrote to me that you are willing to talk about your experience. You didn't have a colostomy bag. You had an
ileostomy bag.
Did you know there was a difference, Rob?
It sounds like the cooler version. No, this is an ileostomy bag, you peasant. How do you not know this shit?
It's definitely not cool,
we're making it cool.
Yeah, but I mean, you know, it was hard. It was a hard experience. Just being accepted, you know, having all of those, you know, accidents and stuff like that. What I mean by that is the ileostomy bags, it holds, of course, your stolen.
Mm-hmm. We love it. Yes. Hold it. Yeah. I mean, because this is amazing. You went through all this when you were 23.
Yes.
How did you, let's go back. How did you get the diagnosis that you had stage 3 colon cancer?
Well, I waited a year just to go because life got in the way. I thought it was from working a lot. It was
stress,
fatigue. I had abdominal pains.
Okay.
I had blood in my stool. And then so I went to the doctors. They gave me a stool kit. Of course, I tested positive for blood in my stool.
Yeah.
So then they referred me to a gastro where I had to go get a colonoscopy. And I'm thinking, you know, you don't get colonoscopies until you're like 50, 60 years old.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you're always, everyone's apprehensive about that. You never want that to happen. I mean,
right.
Especially at 23, but even at any age, you're like, no, thank you. Can we not have to go through this?
Exactly.
But you had to do that at that age.
I had to do that. I got that done. And when the results came back, they said, you know, there's a 50% chance that there's, you know, cancer. And I didn't know what kind, but they said that they found a peach, a size of a peach.
Really?
Like a mass the size of a peach. And I didn't have any words. I was just devastated. My mom was, of course, sad and depressed. But that's what happened there. For then on, I was supposed to go on a cruise. Didn't go. I went and got all of my business taken care of. I went to Johns Hopkins where I was treated.
Wow.
They did an amazing job. They got the cancer out. So
you had surgery.
I had surgery.
You had chemo, radiation,
yeah,
thing at 23.
Yes, chemo, radiation. I didn't lose my hair, so, you know, I'm happy about that because...
Black girl magic.
Oh, Lord. chemo radiation, 2 weeks on, 2 weeks on, 1 week off. So that, you know, it was great that way.
Were they saying that you could die from this? Or
was it... No, they said, you know, as long as you do what you need to do, you will be fine. You will be fine. But I had one doctor tell me that. Some doctors don't want to disclose everything.
Hater.
I knew that I wasn't going to die because my faith was so strong. God is everything. He got me through this. As soon as I, you know, let God do all the work, as soon as blessings start to fall down. You know, I had to get my eggs frozen, you know, because they said that there was a chance I wouldn't have kids.
Wow.
So I had to do all that. I wore this ileostomy bag for 9 months where I just felt like I felt like I wasn't accepted, you know?
Yeah.
Because I will never forget the time where I was in a parking lot and I was coming out and I used my handicap sign and I came back out and someone wrote on my car, "You motherfucker, da, da, da." Like, you know, save this for people that really need it. But you don't really know going through. Right.
Wow.
You know, so it was just the whole experience was bad. Like, and it just made me feel some type of way. But, you know, God, my faith in God is what got me through everything.
And were you working? Did you have a full-time job when you were diagnosed?
I did have a full-time job. I had to stop my full-time job because the chemo medicine, it makes you dizzy. It makes you nauseous. I did wear these bands. I would suggest that people get these bands. They're like, you know, if you go on a cruise.
Sure.
A
they're ship, like anti-nausea.
Exactly.
Like a pressure point you on your wrist. Yeah.
Yes.
My stepfather uses them.
They work so good for me. There were times where I had my good and bad days, my good days where I would be able to, I'm going to go enjoy the sun. You know, it was, you know, kind of, I got diagnosed in March of 2016. So.
Wow.
By the time April, May hit, you know, it's a good time to go out and just enjoy the sun. And there would be times when I, you know, I couldn't. I would have to sit in the bed. When I did get my cancer out in August of 2016, God is good, I swear. But I got my cancer out, but then I had got C. diff, which was an infection from, like, taking a lot of antibiotics.
Oh, wow.
So because I had to get, you know, fed those antibiotics when I was in the hospital. So I was in the hospital for like 2-3 weeks from infection.
The last thing you wanted at that point.
Exactly.
I'm
thinking
issue.
Yeah, I'm thinking the cancer's gone. Everything's going to be all right. No, it felt like death going through that. It really did.
Two years ago, you were diagnosed. Then 2 years later, you're at Coachella. I mean, that's pretty cool.
Isn't that amazing? Yes,
because
that is so amazing.
Things don't happen when you want it. I believe that God said it's not time, but it's time now. It's my time now to shine. So it was a life, you know, it was a lesson. It was a lesson. I really found out who my true friends were.
Yeah,
absolutely.
I know.
I had a great support system. My grandparents came from Florida. I mean, my aunts, uncles from Ohio. My grandmother was my inspiration. Sadly, she passed away in December. But, you know, you have to keep your faith strong and you have to keep great energy. You have to keep nothing but positive people around you.
Yes.
Because you have to have someone to uplift you, you know?
And isn't that a lesson for everything? For
it is.
Any situation?
It's hard to do, though. It's hard to do. And, you know, I do think, like, lots of times in situations when you have these scary calls in life, it really does stop you to reassess or, you know, we all have these moments, whether it's losing a job or, you know, I mean, God forbid, losing somebody you love in your life. But those moments, I think, are the ones that really define lots of things. You know, they define going, you know, taking the risk and betting on yourself for a career or like you said, you know, having faith and really putting a lot of time and energy back into people that care about you.
Exactly. Support system was everything. Mom, dad, brother, everybody was just great. But, you know.
So what now? Do you have like a bucket list? You know, life is precious. I want to do this,
absolutely,
that. I'm not going to wait.
I am working on a book right now.
Yes.
I'm definitely going to put out a book. You know, I already wrote my thoughts down when I was going through this. So I'm saying, why don't I just combine my thoughts together and, you know, put it into a book. So yep. I'm working on that right now. I'm working on showing awareness and getting my story out there, because I know that people are having a hard time going through, you know, such a thing. It doesn't matter if it's colon cancer, any cancer,
any health diagnosis.
Being at a young age, I've had people come up to me 17, 18 going through this. There's been people that I've lost through this, but just showing them that you have to have strong energies and just motivating people. I feel like this is my calling.
Yes.
And
from cancer to Coachella.
Yeah.
A new book.
Yes, Coachella. It was great.
Oh, my God. I got to go next year.
Yes,
I really want to do a podcast at all the festivals. You know, go to Burning
Absolutely.
Man, Coachella.
That would be great.
Yeah,
that'd
I know.
Be great.
I'll be like Rob, though, passed out on the bench. I'll forget to hit record.
It'll be worth it.
Yeah.
Really, Will? And yes. I won't remember a damn thing. I went out with AJ and her girlfriends. They're like your age last weekend. I had.
They're
like,
crazy.
They are.
They're no fun.
They had two drinks, and they tried to get me to, like, smoke from this vaporizer. It was just, like, I couldn't even do it, though. I couldn't figure out. You had to, like, push in, suck, press this button until it turned blue. I'm like, is this what you have to do now to get high? I mean, come on.
Can I just shoot up like the old days? I mean, come on. Like, give me a needle. Let's get turned.
They were like, no, it's so easy. Just press, suck, hold. I'm like, oh, my God. You know,
that's what she said.
You got it, right? Did you get it?
I didn't even get it. My lift showed up by then. I was like, girls, I got to let you go. I mean, I don't know. What's this fucking vaporizer? I mean, then the woman was like, okay, let me just like plug it in and charge it for a minute. I'm like, charging it? All right, we're out of here.
Can I just do a shot of whiskey?
Yeah, I know. Like, what? God. She's like, hold on, let me just get my, wireless charger. I'm like, okay, I don't know. Yes. Anyway, where can people follow you? You're incredible. You're inspiring. You also help people. You're an advocate for taking your own health into your hands. So where can people follow you?
I mean, you can follow me at Jazmine Nae, JazzminNae. NAE on Instagram or Facebook, Jazz, JAZZ, Petros, PETTROSS. Just reach out to me. I'm seriously open. Like, I know how it feels. Like, we will get through it together. That's
Absolutely.
My motto. We will
that's
get through it
spirit.
Together.
Get through it together.
Hey,
yes.
Rob,
that's
I am
the motto
here for
of life.
You.
Let's get through this together.
Yeah, that's the God's honest. Yeah. It's Rob. Jasmine, you're terrific. Stay right
Thank
here.
You so
We're
much.
Gonna do. We do a segment at the end of the show on Wednesdays called Deep Thoughts from either the men on Tinder or the women on Tinder, and we like to read funny Tinder profiles. There's so many on the internet all the time. So, obviously, you haven't been on a dating website in 9 years.
No, I feel like I would be good at that.
You do?
Not. I'm not like a good at dating, but like at coming up with a good profile to get the dates.
Really?
Yes.
Have you thought about like what your line would be on there? Because everybody tries to be witty and clever.
Don't try too hard. you can't look. I think self-deprecating. I think
self-deprecation is always great.
Yes.
People love that. They're very attracted to that.
Absolutely.
Kind of comedy.
You disarm people by just acknowledging your faults and weaknesses, and people then relate to you more than just being some person that's bragging.
Yeah. What are your faults and weaknesses?
I'm too good of a lover. my faults and weaknesses, I tend to not share enough with my girlfriend. I feel like
Really?
Well,
you're a comic. You know, I'm sure your relationship's a lot about you. I mean, that's in my relationship. I mean, it's nothing about Dan. It's my needs.
Right. No, I get that. And I'm all about her needs. But I feel like it with my mom, too. My mom is always like, just tell me more about your life. What's going on? And I make it more of a mystery. I think it's just from being an only child until my mom got remarried. And then there was a whole other family that came in. But I think my just growing up, just everything was just me and internalizing things and thinking and doing and planning things on my own and giving myself my own advice versus just it's okay to let people in sometimes.
Yes.
Yeah.
So that would be sort of, you'd be self-deprecating, and I like that, letting people in.
Gotta let people in. And what's the song from, that's the Desperado, that's the song. It's, you better let somebody love you before it's too late. That's
oh, from the
say.
Eagles.
Yes, the Eagles.
Well, that, you might be aging yourself out of Tinder.
No, that's cool these days, retro.
Retro.
Yes. Well, is there an age? Is there a 40-something Tinder?
There is. No, there's
Ender.
All ages.
It's just, it's over for you.
Ender. There is, like, all age groups
right.
are on there. No, it's true. And then you just set your age range. So do you want to date somebody 20 to 35?
Yeah, 18 to 20, I think.
18 to 20.
How old are you, Jasmine? I mean, she's going to a cool concert. She's got this bag thing. It sounds pretty convenient to me.
I know. Right? I agree. I think the bag is awesome.
Right.
I think you're in. I think AJ went to pull up. Hey, Shannon, do we have our Tinder profiles to pull up, or does she have to go get them? Oh, hold on. We can't hear you. Hold on, our producer, AJ.
The picture is important, too.
She had to go grab them.
Okay. I can just read them off my phone. The picture is important, but lots of times we just snag these right off of Tinder so we don't show people's faces because we're worried about getting sued. I don't know. Do you think you can get sued if you just put someone on blast, like off of Tinder?
No.
Or is it? I don't know, though. It's not really Facebook. It's not like a public forum.
But it is public, though. It's not a private profile, right?
No, not unless you pay.
Yeah.
Which I don't pay.
We're not doing that. Come on. What is this, the Tony Perkins show? I don't even know what that meant, but it just seemed funny. My girlfriend before me, she met a guy online, had all these pictures of him on his motorcycle, and then he goes to pick her up. He's in a van. He'd gotten into an accident. He's in a wheelchair now.
Really?
Didn't mention that, by the way.
Did not tell her that at all.
No,
his whole profile is him on a motorcycle.
Yes.
There's no reference to the
No mention of the motorcycle
accident
that changed his life forever.
And then he shows up in the wheelchair.
Yes.
That's a significant key to leave out.
Yeah, but she went on a date with him because she's a good person.
Oh, my God, yeah. Would you leave? I would not leave. I mean, what are you going to do? You'd be like, oh, okay, well, you know, minor fact that I left out. But, I mean, I'm leaving things out of my own life, too.
Well, that's a big one.
You know, I mean, when do you want to know? Like, I had herpes once, then again. Like, I mean, but I'm not going to lead with that.
Things happen, right? We've all been to Baltimore on a Wednesday night.
Yeah, we've all been there. Age, do we have any profiles that we can bring up? Or I'll just read them off my phone.
I think the best is to read off
phone. Okay, sure. Can you bring the
send?
No,
yeah,
it's cool. Bring
sec.
The phone in.
What's AJ's profile?
AJ, so seriously, isn't she hot? AJ,
she's smoking hot.
AJ is our smoking
hot
producer.
Name, cool little initial thing happening.
Because you think she's kind of a guy, but then you see her and you're like, oh my God,
yeah,
this chick
I don't
is
think
not
that
a guy.
Anymore.
She's super hot.
Yes,
she does have a
good.
Boyfriend. Yeah, she smells
but
good.
But that's not going to last. Let's be honest. That guy's way out of his league.
We think so, too. So I think she should date around. I mean, she's so young. You remember those days.
I do. I think we should write her Tinder profile for her.
I do, too. She's gorgeous, right?
Pretty.
She's
gorgeous.
With a guy. He's such a sweetheart. And he's in the military, too. He's probably seen one of your shows.
Probably.
And but then on the weekends, he likes to paint figurines. That's where he's lost me.
Oh, like, wow. What a catch that guy is. Hank.
Look, I didn't choose it. He just fell into my lap, and I was like, hey, you're convenient.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
My grandfather likes to do the same thing. He's 93 years old. So.
Oh, my God. By the way, we have to thank Cornerstone First, which is our latest sponsor. This is very exciting. If you are in the market to become a homeowner, you need a mortgage. You need that process to be so simple, and you need to get qualified. So Mark Livingstone is partnering with us, and I have a very funny story. This is the first client who's advertising who I actually went out on a date with several years ago.
Oh, really?
Yes. And now he's a fan of the podcast, and he's advertising for his mortgage business.
Well, that was a good, successful date, then.
But here's the thing. He's going to be on the show next week. He saved our email interactions from, like, 5 or 6 years ago, and he's going to read them. I don't even remember what I wrote.
Oh, I'm sure it's bad.
Yeah, I think so, too, because I think that was when... Remember, like, when Twitter and everything was just getting going, and no one spelled out anything? You know, it was just like, I see you.
Yes.
And it was, like, three letters.
What are you, Prince?
Yeah. So this is going to be crazy. But anyway, if you're a first-time homeowner or if you're going at this for the second or third time, Cornerstone First can help you. They have over 20 years of experience, no matter who the person is or what your past credit line is. You can go to heyfrage.com right now. There is a link there to your right. You'll see Mark. Click on that. You can get pre-qualified. You can send Mark directly an email. So I am actually looking at a condo. You're a homeowner too, Rob.
Yeah, Columbia, Maryland. We're big time people.
Yes.
A house, a yard.
Please, you're going to have a mansion out there.
Yeah, a mansion. Yeah.
Nice place.
I was going to say Columbia, Maryland. Yeah.
We have a pool table. I mean,
I'm looking at a storage closet in Arlington.
We have a washer and dryer. Yeah. All the fancy stuff.
Yeah, absolutely.
Two TVs. We're killing it. We're successful people. We're sexy. We're amazing.
Yeah, you guys are. I'm in love with your girlfriend. All right, here
She's
we go.
Awesome.
So go to heyfrage.com, by the way, and just you'll be able to fill out everything right there. I'm getting a mortgage through Mark, too, and I don't know what those emails are going to say. Oh, my God.
Well, he wouldn't have saved them if they were just like, hey, looking forward to meeting you. I mean, there was something in there that he saved them for.
I can't wait. I know. This is Amanda, 28. Okay, she's currently 14 miles away. She says, just a cupcake looking for her stud muffin. P.S. I'm crazy short. P.S.S. My friends are probably funnier than you. P.S.S.S. Invite me to brunch. I'll be eating brunch already, but it lets me know your mind's in the right place. P.S.S.S.S. Be taller than 5'3" or be a Lannister. That's a lot of
P.S.S.S.S. Red flags. Hashtag ID channel.
Yeah, you're over that?
No. A cupcake, stud muffin. Oh, really? A girl named Amanda who likes brunch. Okay. Shocker.
Too basic for you,
yeah,
Rob?
Yeah, I mean, look, what a basic bitch. Everybody loves brunch, okay?
Yeah, it's the
truth.
It's
like, you know what I'm into? I like to breathe. Okay. Yeah, it's a common thing. Yeah, I like naps. We all like naps and cupcakes and brunch and traveling. Tell me something that you like carving figurines like AJ's boyfriend. That's at least interesting. It's lame, but it's different. It's not sexy.
How about Lauren, 29? She's an exotic dancer, but she's also
yes,
going
love
to law
her.
School.
Let's get married. Sure she is. The exotic dancer going to law school. All right.
She says, please read. I'm currently on house arrest with electronic monitoring, not drugs or prostitution related. If this isn't something you can handle, please do not swipe right. I'm 30 years old, exotic dancer and attorney at law. Yes, you can be both. Gym freak, hardcore Tyga fan. And yes, those are fake. That's referring to her tits.
I'm okay with that.
Teach me how to swim and drive, and I will give you a private show. Or show you how to make a shank out of candy.
Okay. There's a lot going on there. I think a lot. I don't think just her breasts are fake. I think a lot of that is fake. But I'm interested. I would totally swipe right. I have to teach her how to swim and drive? Like what?
This is a little off, I think.
Yeah, I would go driving first. I think that's more important than swimming. Unless...
You never know.
Never know. You have to swim to work today.
It could happen. And of course, lastly, Donald, 71.
Ooh.
I was elected president, so I'm like a really smart person, okay? I have 4 kids and Tiffany. I have really big hands. Everyone says to me, Donald, you have really big hands. And you know what they say? If his hands are big, then something else must be big. So there's no problem there. Believe me. If you're fat and ugly like Rosie O'Donnell, swipe left.
I prefer Dolores in Spain. That's more my speed.
You're swiping right
I will
right
swipe
there.
Right for the
oh
D.
My God. I
that
love
sounded
it.
Bad. Okay.
No, swipe right for the D. Yeah. All right, Rob, you're amazing. Where can people find you? You have so much going on. Live shows, mystery theater. Where can people follow you? You're terrific.
RobMaher.com, RobMaher. Same thing, Twitter, Instagram, or DieLaughingProductions.com. Murder Mystery Comedy Show coming May 4th to AMP in Rockville, May 20th. McGoobie's Joke House in Baltimore. Thank you, Sarah.
Oh my God, Rob, you were such a treat. You have to come back.
I'm back.
And
let
you
me
have
know.
Your own podcast.
Rob and Joe Show. It's live every week on Monday nights. You can download on iTunes. It's on the Mike O'Mara, The More Network.
The More Network.
It gets recorded right here in this fabulous Podcast Village studio. Shout out Oscar Santana, Charlie Byrne.
Oh, you guys are terrific. Jasmine, thank you so much for
being
here.
Thank you.
Bye, you guys.
See ya. Carve those figurines.
Bye.